The president takes aim at underperforming schools.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama is expected to introduce a new plan today to reduce the school dropout rate. The president will target America's lowest performing schools. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
We've told our listeners quite a bit about the president's education plans, the Race to the Top program. How is today's proposal new?
Well, Bill, Race to the Top is a competitive program, as its name implies, where states vie for federal money. The proposal being announced today is more of a grant program. It's called the School Turnaround Grant Program, and it's targeted at schools with graduation rates below 60%. And the president included $900 million for this in his 2011 budget. The plan is to reach kids early. The White House says you can tell in sixth grade which students are most likely to drop out.
Okay, so this is a targeted program, and what do the schools that get this money have to do?
There are definitely strings attached. Districts have to choose one of four approaches, and they are all pretty drastic. The districts would have to replace principals or close failing schools. Those schools would be reopened as charters in some cases, or the students would be sent to better schools in their districts, and schools would also have to evaluate teacher effectiveness.
And what about schools that don't get these grants? What's the president saying about them?
Well, the administration might increase funding for alternative high schools, and they are specifically designed to help kids at risk of dropping out.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
There are rumors this morning Germany and France will bail Greece out of its debt crisis. On that possibility, European shares are up almost 1%. Stocks in Asia rose more than 1% today. Wall Street opens in about an hour. A few minutes ago, the U.S. government said personal spending rose slightly faster than expected in January. More than personal incomes rose, meaning consumers dipped into savings. The Dow closed Friday at 10,325. Today, Chinese diplomats are entertaining a guest who would not be welcome in many countries, the foreign minister of Zimbabwe. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports China's one of the few countries left where Zimbabwe's delegation gets a warm welcome.
So far, Zimbabwe's foreign minister has been well-received in Beijing, and it's not surprising. Beijing buys resources like gold, diamonds, and coal from Zimbabwe, and in return has pledged more than $25 billion in loans. China scholar Bates Gill at the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute says Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe and China go way back to pre-Zimbabwe in the 70s.
Back to the days when he was a revolutionary in Rhodesia. So these ties are sustained today through diplomatic and trade relationships.
Critics blast China, though, for selling weapons to Mugabe's regime and protecting it from UN sanctions. But recent signals suggest the ties are getting strained. In January, China warned Zimbabwe to pay its debts or no more loans.
It could be that a country like Zimbabwe has proven to be something of a burr under the saddle.
Zimbabwe's leaders say China's message was clear. We are business partners, not friends. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
An Indian scientist has found a way to triple a lifespan of a tomato. Turns out the so-called Stay Fresh tomato has its enemies. Reporter Raymond Thibodeau reports from New Delhi.
Tomatoes have a tiny farm-to-market window of up to 2 weeks, but researchers at the National Institute of Plant Genomes in Delhi can extend the shelf life of a tomato to 1.5 months. Here's Dr. Asis Datta, the director of the institute.
We characterize the two enzymes, alpha-man and beta-hex. We clone the genes and then design the construct to silence these two genes.
Simply put, Dr. Datta found two tiny switches in the tomato that cause it to age, and he basically turned them off. He says the same can be done for other fruit crops, such as bananas and mangoes. Many Indians are hailing the breakthrough as a boon, not only for the country's farmers, but also for India's children, nearly half of whom are malnourished. Some estimates show that as much as 40% of India's produce harvest is wasted because of a lack of adequate storage facilities and decent roads.
It's too expensive to transport from the villages to the cities. If I give a tomato a shelf life of 45 days, you can even use a cart to reach the market. Farmers will be rich, and the consumer will get the lower price.
Sounds like a win-win, but not everyone sees it that way. Vandana Shiva is a physicist who heads Navdanya, an agency that supports organic farming in India. She says if Dr. Dada's motivation is to help India's farmers, creating a longer-lasting tomato isn't the answer.
I have traveled through this country where farmers have plowed the tomato back into the field because it's more costly to harvest than the price that they would ever get back. That's the real crisis farmers are facing. It's a crisis of unfair trade, low prices for farmers, and it has to be solved in the marketplace. It can't be solved in the lab.
Still, some analysts say the Stay Fresh tomato is likely to meet a fate similar to a genetically enhanced type of eggplant recently developed here. The eggplant had sailed through much of the approval process, then suddenly the process juddered to a halt, largely due to massive street protests by groups opposed to genetically modified food crops. Among those leading the protests, the farmers. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally, a Georgia restaurant owner has launched a campaign celebrating the Cornish chicken.
Last year, this beautiful bird contributed over $3 billion to the state's agribusiness coffers. Yet, Georgia's state bird is the inedible, lazy, and migratory brown thrasher.
The campaign is called Flip the Birds. It's a call to make the chicken the official state bird of Georgia. The economic argument is sound, but defenders of the brown thrasher say there are two requirements for a state bird. One, it can fly. Two, it does not come with coleslaw. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.